Would you close your eyes, please? Father, without you, we can do nothing. I ask that you would open our ears and our eyes so that we can see and hear what your Spirit is speaking to us as a church today. In Jesus' name, I pray. I'd like to take you to Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance, and I know that you cannot tolerate the wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles, but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name, and have not grown weary." I stress that. "And have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the heights from which you have fallen. Repent or change your mind. And do the thing you did at first. If you do not change your mind or repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Now, my comment today is going to be a coordinate of some of the things he did with me this week. My aim is to let you taste of what he has prepared for each of us. And sometimes what he's prepared relates to what Maria was sharing. Some of what we taste is not always comfortable. Peggy's comment with the man who promises and lies and deceives. If he were to be calling himself an apostle, he'd be false. Amen? In the church of that day, there were such as this. In the church of today, it has not changed. There's still people around declaring what they are, and yet when you look at the fruit, it's not bananas. Can anybody relate to where I'm coming from? If you're relating, put your hand up. He's teaching you. It's not your job to be angry. It is your job to say, okay, where's my first love? Because he's really pushing us to awaken to what he wants. When my wife's friend passed away, and of course she was my friend as well, but I would have never known her, like I told the people, if I had never visited Prospect Street. Prospect Street has probably got about 8 houses, maybe. 8, 10 houses. It's a very light, little tiny street. And my wife was born on one side of the street, and this family was across the street. So she's known the families all her life. And the day that we went to visit with her and anointed her, the Lord spoke to my heart and he gave me a prophetic word. Now, I didn't use those terms when I was giving the message at the other church. But this is what I heard in my heart, and I heard, write it down. So if you'll close your eyes and just let the word go in. Louise, my servant, has tasted of my crucifixion. She tasted and let it happen with no complaints. And now, like St. Paul in Galatians 4:19, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. The word Christ can be substituted for the word anointing. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, to keep me from becoming conceited, etc. There was a thorn in my flesh, yes, and my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Yes, she is one of my jewels. I am visible through her, and many will be made perfect through her fellowship of my crucifixion. She let me shine through her pain, and in all of the restrictions that came upon her, she never complained. If you enjoy her here, you will enjoy her in the heavens, where my glory will radiate through her brand new body. Then I related that about 8 months ago, she had had almost, I believe it was 7 months of hospitalization, nursing home care. Her kidneys were failing, her heart was failing, her lungs were failing. And she ended up weighing about 3 times her normal weight. I did visit her a few times in the hospital or nursing home situation. And one day the Lord said, go visit her at home, because she was finally able to go home as long as she had a chair with a lift and she had care. So I went in and she was sitting in her living room and I asked if she wanted to be anointed, and she said yes. She was filled with the Holy Spirit back in the 1970s when Irene and I were. And she was also part of the Children of Light. She was one of the leaders. So I anointed her, and as I did, I heard these words. She has been crucified with me. That's how come these words came so freely this week. So I looked at her and I said, Louise, I'm getting this incredible, strange word. I said, I'm hearing the word, you were crucified with him. And the tears rolled out of her eyes, and she said, only the Holy Spirit could tell you that. She says, because when all this excess weight was on my body, I could not move even a hand to lift it up or lift up one leg. And my chest was so full of fluid that I couldn't breathe. And now the tears were rolling out of both of us. Because I said, the fellowship of his suffering is you choosing to taste what happened to him. And I said, because you didn't complain. Well, she says, you know, I had total peace in my heart. There was no anxiety. There was no questioning, am I sane or am I insane? She says, I had harmony with him throughout the whole ordeal of all these weeks and months of not even being able to take care of my body, which she happened to be a very independent lady. She says, my greatest concern is my family, because they don't know him like I do. What do I do? And out of my mouth came these words. You are a letter read by everybody who knows you. They may never pick up the Bible, but you are an epistle. And this week, I got the scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:2. You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone, etc. You believers are having or living epistles. So you say, well, they've never picked up the Bible. Maybe they got a glimpse of Jesus in you. Just maybe they got a glimpse of his resurrection in you. And maybe they'll have a hunger for him, which is what I told them on Thursday morning. Later on, when we had the lunch in the church hall, a lady that I've never seen came up to me and she says, I've never heard a eulogy like this before. This was so different, so incredibly different. And I said, to God be the glory. Thank you. Why? Because there are times that God's going to use you and they may not pick up the Bible. Maybe they haven't got a clue what the Bible says, but they know you. And they know him inside of you. You may be in a school situation where everybody around you is an unbeliever. But if they need prayer, they're going to be what? Calling you. We have people that can't stand Christianity. But when they're in trouble, they'll call the Christians for prayer. Now, isn't that strange? Louise's eulogy in the newspaper said, anybody who called Louise for prayer knew that they would be somebody on the job to intercede for them. They printed it right in the newspaper. Why? Because they knew they had read her letter. They had read her epistle. And I said to her, our God is such a wonderful Father that he will manifest himself to each and every one of your family members. The day and the appointed hour may not be known. But your first love was never lost. Because everyone who talked about her at the hall said, our God is a loving Father. And he's created children to be filled with love. And he will manifest himself through you. And you will irritate the darkness. Tell your neighbor, you are so full of light, you irritate the darkness. And those that are of darkness, they just might pick on you. Tough cookies. Got the clue? Why? Because get over it. It's normal. Okay? I remember when the Holy Spirit came into that little Catholic group of men and women that were worshiping the Lord and refused to worship any other things that were in the church. And we were thrown out of one area and we thrown into another and we were rejected and unaccepted. But when they needed prayer, oh, could you maybe pray for us because our family's in trouble? When we got kicked out of church and we put back into a convent, you know what? We had a celebration because we could dance before him with freedom. And they were jealous of our freedom. We had one priest that came over and he would come and say mass for us once a week. Once a month. Well, we had a Life in the Spirit seminar, a little booklet that talked about Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 1. And it was all written in the scriptures, and everybody studied that for several days, and then after that we would pray for them to receive the tongues. Well, he had decided he wanted to join us, so we gave him a booklet. And he studied it. But guess what? The night that came that we were going to pray for each one to receive the heavenly language, he bolted through that door like an arrow, and did not return for weeks. And I tried to call him, and he wouldn't. What am I telling you? He could not handle what was happening. Because one after the other were breaking out into tongues. He had read the book, but he wasn't ready.
God didn't reject him. He was just running scared. How many have ever run scared from the Lord? Thank you. So he didn't know some of us had had the same problem. Could God get a hold of him when he was ready? Not a problem. Why did God use Louise the way he did? Because it was his plan. If you've lost your first love, recapture it. Recapture it. Ask him, put me in love with you again, Lord, so I don't lose track of what's going on. And then you can sing that song. It is well with my soul. It is well with my mind, my will, and my emotions. Close your eyes. Father, let this word now manifest in their hearts as they go forward in obedience in the days ahead. And Father, radiate your love through them. Irritate the darkness through them until the light explodes in those that have a need to be delivered. And I ask this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
And amen.